Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always. I'm glad you're here. Mark Stiles is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Mark is a new friend. And he's the chief investment officer, chief compliance officer for a financial company called Bluemont Capital Advisors. He's a smart guy. He's a financial guy, and he's here to talk to us about how you and I should think about our investment portfolios as we go forward into the future. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Mark, for a long time, for generations, basically, in the United States, with exception of a few periods of time, you could put money in the stock market, and $1,000, $10,000, whatever, $20,000, whatever the amount, you could put the money in, and basically just take the shares and put them in your lockbox and forget about them. Come back in 20 years and you'd be rich or whatever, you're doubled or tripled or quadrupled your money. You can't do that anymore, can you?
Well, things have changed in the marketplace, and one of those changes is that generational piece that you talk about. If you look back to the early 70s, the U.S. equity markets made up somewhere around 75% of the total world equity markets.
Right.
Today, that's down to about probably 38 to 40%.
Wow.
So investors, not just in the U.S., but in the rest of the world, have other choices, and mm-hmm. they exercise those other choices, which makes the U.S. marketplace only one of the many choices that
so
they
how,
have.
But how does that affect... How does that affect our capital markets?
Well, it affects us because in that case, what happens is we've relied a great deal on foreign investors in our mm-hmm. marketplace as well as the wealth of United States citizens as well. So now that they have other choices and even that U.S. investors have other choices, they tend to go to the markets where they think they're going to get the best return for the risk that they're taking. And that means that the U.S. marketplace is only one of the choices and not the nice upward slope that we saw for
right.
about the 40 or 50 years in the marketplace.
We're just one of the players. We're not the premier player anymore, are we?
Right.
And have we become less of a premier player primarily since Sarbanes-Oxley? Has that hurt us because it's limited or it's reduced the number of people who wanted to go public in the United States?
Well, we generally view transparency as a good thing. In this case, I think that what we call the law of unintended consequences often
yeah.
takes place in financial markets. And I think what happened under Sarbanes-Oxley is that many of the senior executives, chief investment officers, chief financial officers, chief operating officers, CEO and chairman of these companies realized that at times they don't have the complete control over the entire company that mm-hmm. makes them comfortable in being in a public setting. So I would agree with you to some extent that it's limited the amount of companies who want to go public. A lot of companies probably feel they're in a better position staying private.
Right. Well, we can talk. We'll have to get you back on another day, and you and I can discuss Sarbanes-Oxley more. But I do think it's appropriate to lay part of the blame at the diminishing position the United States has in the global capital markets on Sarbanes-Oxley. I think it put that bill put unintended consequences, the law of unintended consequences on steroids. Okay, so there's a method of investing that's called the modern portfolio theory that I'd like for you to tell the audience a little bit about that you subscribe to.
Sure.
And even though it's called modern, it's actually been around a long time, hasn't it?
Right. It was developed by Harry Markowitz, who's an American economist that won the Nobel Prize. He came up with modern portfolio theory after studying the effects of asset allocation and diversification on its total effect on portfolios. He did a lot of foundational work back in the 1950s, so it's been around for quite a while. And we subscribe to that, I think, as do most investment professionals these days, simply because you can take asset allocation and holding different things than if you hold equities only, for instance, you have to take the return of the equity market when it goes up, when it goes down. But by holding other asset classes as well, like fixed income, like real estate, precious metals, you also have the ability to have different asset classes in your portfolio that take out some of the shocks, both to the upside and downside, and give you generally a steadier return stream.
Well, and so how is that different from the way people have been investing lately?
I think one of the things that one of those unintended consequences that we have from Markowitz and the way that the financial services industry chose to implement that was something we like to call the set it and forget it rule.
Right.
So generally what happens is when you talk to a broker or an advisor, he'll come up with a number of risk models that they'll use, from conservative to aggressive. And you basically end up in one of these five models, or we can also call them one of the five buckets, and you're in there with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows them to have massive scalability in the way that they handle assets.
With all the of the scheduled, you know, the computerized buying and selling by the big houses and by the institutions, does a small investor really stand a chance in the marketplace, in the stock market?
Well, I think
isn't that a fair question to ask right now?
Say again?
Isn't that a fair question to ask right now?
Well, I think that's actually always a fair question to ask, in the context that there are many people out there who like to do it themselves. And when they have the time, and if you're going to do that, and when I was at Fidelity, we built some of the best systems out there to allow people to do that. But at the same time, it's understanding how much time you have to devote to what you're doing with your investment dollars.
To the research.
And what return you expect from them.
The research and everything.
Right. I mean, it's tough to have a full-time job and then go home, do all the other things you do with the family, and still find time to do the research that you need to do to make good investment decisions.
What are you recommending to your clients right now? Where are you having them put their money?
Well, that's a tough question, simply because all of our portfolios are weighted very differently based on what our client profiles and goals are. So if we have someone who might be in their late 30s or early 40s, it's probably a very different portfolio than a client who is in their early 60s to mid-60s, who is at or approaching retirement, where we're really setting up income streams for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I will say one thing that we look at when we look at diversification as a whole. Although we are invested in all the asset classes generally all the time, we change the weighting based on where we perceive the best risk and reward in the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, in a general sense, we tend to be more weighted to fixed income and short-dated fixed income because of how we perceive the interest rate outlook going
forward. When we come back, I'm going to ask Mark Stise if he thinks we're in a bear market or bull market, if he thinks we're in a bear market but got a little bit of a bounce going on here. And also, what should small business owners be doing with their money? Should they be investing it in their own businesses, or should they be putting some of it in the stock market? 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there. If you got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, we got something that will help you. You can read, you can listen, you can ask a question. You can check out my newsletter. I hope you'll do that and subscribe to that. We'll send it to you. Or if you want us to follow you home with our blog, or follow you home with an article or anything like that, we'll be glad to do that too. We've got the RSS capability right there on the website, so check that out. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Mark Stise is with us, folks. He's the Chief Investment Officer at Bluemont Capital Advisors. Mark, tell us a little bit about Bluemont and tell us how we can find you guys.
Sure. You can find us at bluemontcapital.com on the web. There's our website. It has the information about our firm and all of our principals. We are a small firm. Actually came together in December of last year. It's a group of professionals all who have all worked at different firms and in different parts of the field.
Is this the firm.
Mark,
is this a Phoenix?
She is a 20-year veteran of the industry. She worked for PIMCO as the senior pricing analyst on the PIMCO portfolios for Bill Gross. She has been head of the largest and flagship product in Investors Bank and Trust, the custody bank. I had many years at Fidelity, where I was originally a bond trader, and had a fixed income and international strategy for the capital markets company.
And that's Bluemontcapital.com, right?
Right.
Now, is this a Phoenix company? Or you guys rise out of the ashes of something having started December of last year?
Well, all the principals had been at different firms, and we had decided to come together based on some mutual views of what was happening in the marketplace.
Well, good for you. So it's a brand new small business. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You're among our heroes.
I get a lot of benefit out of checking out your website and seeing what's going on.
Well, good. I hope you use it to your advantage. So, talk to us about this economy, about the market. Do you see it as a bear market? Do we have a bear market rally here, or are we actually heading towards a bull market? What do you think?
Well, traditionally, a bull market is one that makes higher highs and higher lows, and a bear market is one that makes lower lows and then lower highs. And so what we've been watching is what has happened on this run-up versus the early January high. And until early last week, that was kind of the cap for the marketplace. We couldn't get past those early January highs that we had. Now, we've done that over the last week or so, but we've done it on decreasing volume. So I think it's a case right now of, you know, time will tell whether or not we've made the change from a bear market to a bull market. Regardless of that, I think you're going to get buying opportunities because nothing, you know, especially the market ever goes straight up or straight down.
Right.
We tend to be a little bit underweighted in equities right now. We will hold that position in underweight until we make that determination whether or not we've gone, if it's really a bear market with a bear market rally,
right,
or if it's actually changed direction.
Well, let's talk about bonds. With all the things that's going on with GM and Chrysler, bondholders of corporate bonds right now have got to be a little shaky with the government preferring the union over bondholders. What do you think?
You're about to put me on my soapbox. I was very happy that Justice Ginsburg blocked, at least temporarily, the action at Chrysler. I think that it's a very slippery slope to go down where the government puts the interests of whatever group ahead of the bondholders who are supposed to have the priority in any liquidation. And so I think this is one of those inflection points possibly in the economy where we start to see how things are going to happen going forward. From our perspective, we actually don't hold any bonds of companies that have government involvement today, simply for that reason.
Yeah, that's understandable. But this is a really potentially ugly situation, folks. It could set a precedent that we don't want from the standpoint of capital formation in the future. If bondholders get spooked by the government coming in and preempting their seniority over other holders, other stakeholders, that's not going to be good for the future. Mark, one more topic before we go. Small business owners are all the Blasting Game Small Business Law, third law of small business, states that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. We always have somewhere to put our money, and it's not always available, therefore, to have investment stock portfolios and investment portfolios like you guys work with. How does a small business owner figure out how to do that?
Well, I would say about the only thing you don't want to do is put your money under your mattress, simply because if your house burns down, you lost your house and your money.
Right.
From that perspective, it's always good to invest in the thing that you know best, and in that case, it's your business. What we do with a number of our clients who own small businesses or who are looking to invest in a business or purchase a business, we'll kind of separate the assets, and that'll just be one of the asset classes. Okay, this is the capital that you're going to use to buy or to create or to run a small business, and we'll include that in the overall portfolio that we're looking at so that we can get the diversification in the rest of the portfolio that you need for the long run.
So when you do investment planning for your clients, you actually help them include the business as one of, and they look at the business that they operate the way they look at if they owned a piece of GE or something like that.
Exactly. We look at it as another asset class, one that they have a great deal of expertise in. We clearly aren't going to go in and tell them how to run that business. That's their job.
Well, the good news is, though,
it's a very valuable asset class. The good news is
it makes them look at their business as if it with a little more of a jaundiced eye and maybe a little more dispassionately. Hey, Mark, will you come back another day?
I'd love to.
We've enjoyed having you here. Mark Stiles, ladies and gentlemen, with Bluemont Capital Advisors. He'll be back. I will be too after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.